I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.
Well, news broke this morning that leaders in the U.S. Senate have tentatively reached a deal to avoid a Treasury default and to reopen the government.
Tomorrow is the deadline U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew set for Congress to raise that debt ceiling. He said after tomorrow, the Treasury wouldn't have been able to cover its bills.
Well, we're joined now by Lily Gorin, professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University, to talk about the proposed deal. Lily, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a sketch of the details as we know them so far about this potential deal in the Senate.
Well, the deal is backed at this point very strongly, at least in a bipartisan way, by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And they hope to have a vote on it, from everything I can tell, sometime later today. They're working on the particularities of the legislative language so that the deal is sketched out, but it needs to be written into the actual legislative language that would make it into a law once it's voted on. And this includes essentially the budget cuts that were part of the sequestration, which had been part of the negotiation at some point, but not of late. And so that the sequestration sort of numbers are to be negotiated potentially further into sort of the fall by a number of people involved in the conference committee. And so once the Senate votes on this, it will go to the House. And the Speaker of the House, Speaker Boehner, has said that, you know, it will come to a vote probably late in the evening tonight.
Now, I suppose if there is a wild card in all of this, it is the House. Do you expect any trouble there?
Well, there's been, you know, a lot of discussion, but it also sounds like, from what I've been able to read and see in the course of the day around this, that Speaker Boehner is, you know, sort of willing to bring this piece of legislation to the floor of the House for a vote, even if it doesn't necessarily include the majority of the majority, which is known as the Hastert rule from when Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House. And he wouldn't bring much to the floor of the House unless he had a majority of the Republicans in the majority who would vote for it. And so this is probably not going to have a majority of Republicans voting for it in the end in the House.
Now, this has been a pretty intense game of high-stakes chicken. Do you have a sense about the winners and the losers as they stand so far?
Well, you know, I hate to say winners and losers when it's, you know, sort of the full faith and credit of the United States on the line. And you know, lots and lots of people who both work for the federal government and, you know, and sort of have some relationship to the federal government, be they veterans or, you know, people who receive some sort of assistance or, you know, loans or whatever it is. And so it's hard to say that there are necessarily winners or losers when so much of this has been sort of on a knife's edge for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, the piece of legislation that's coming forward is basically to open the government, so to end the shutdown, and to extend the debt ceiling until, I believe it's February, early February at this point. And that's, again, what the Democrats in the Senate, led by Harry Reid and President Obama, had said, you know, we're happy to negotiate any of these issues, but you need to open the government and raise the debt ceiling. And so in terms of partisan politics, it is the legislation that the Democrats said that they had wanted for the most part.
Now, I know you don't want to talk about winners and losers, and I understand your point that, in a sense, you know, the United States has been the big loser. Everybody's been a loser as we look at this. But when we're looking at sort of the collateral damage to the parties and what public opinion has to say about them, pretty strongly it seems as though Republicans are saying this was a painful one for them.
Yeah, and I think Congress as a whole, I mean, the Republicans are not coming off right now in all of the polling that I've seen. I think a recent number was about there was a 74% disapproval rating for Republicans. But Congress has like less than a 10% approval rating as a whole. And so, you know, in a certain sense, there's a real sort of anathema that I see from the polls with regard to particularly the legislature. President Obama has more or less held steady, according to a lot of the poll numbers that I've seen. But again, not overwhelming support for him either. But the numbers with regard to the Congress have been particularly grim.
Well, what do you think about how we move forward from this, both as a nation on the national stage and our reputation there, and repairing people's broken trust in the government?
I'm not sure, because we haven't necessarily put, a lot of this partisanship and disputes behind us per se. I think it's, it's sort of a stopgap measure. The government will have a continuing resolution that keeps it open until January, and the debt ceiling will be raised until February. And so we may go through all of this again, perhaps in the winter or spring. But the question then becomes, does it become even more sort of difficult for elected representatives in particular, all of whom will stand for election in November? This is a year before the election. People may forget their feelings about it right now. They may not, but they may. But if you bring it a lot closer to the election itself, it may have more of an impact on both the House and the Senate races.
And in about 15 seconds that we have left, do you see any end to this extreme partisanship in America?
I'm not sure. And I think one of the outcomes may be a part of the Republican Party figuring out which direction it's going to take in the long run. Because I think part of what we're seeing in some of the disputes and antagonisms are actually within the Republican Party itself.
All right. Well, Lily, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Lily Gorin, professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University.